Podcast from Farm Anner, number 2, for November 26, 2006. Welcome back to my world, and you're welcome to it. It's been a little while since I've done one of these. I've made a few improvements in my setup since then, and I hope this podcast sounds good. I'll have show notes at farmanner.blogspot.com, and feel free to comment or suggest improvements. We'll be talking a little bit about digital voice recorders in this podcast, and a lot about the PS3 launch. But first, a little about what's been going on around Farm Anner. Daughter Dearest is sending a Christmas package to an online friend in Australia. They've had some family issues, and she's trying to make sure that her friend has something nice for Christmas. I think it cost about as much to ship her package as it did to buy the stuff. The floors are finished. We have to put molding down, but that's a fairly minor thing after everything else. We'll be out $100 max, probably less. So now the question becomes, what's the next project? Build a deck out back or a chipping area for golf practice? I don't get out and golf nearly enough to justify it, but if my inside game were better, I might be more motivated. But we'll probably end up going with the deck. I've built a deck in the past, and it's a fairly straightforward process, especially if I could get the boy to help. We could do either project in stages. For the deck, I figured we'd start with a small piece, maybe 8 by 10 feet, then step down to a larger deck, and then to a patio, perhaps with a hot tub and a brazier. But before we can honestly tackle those, we need to figure out what we'll do about the drain lines. Pumping the septic tank every few months for a few $100 a trip really is not the way to deal with things. We have to dig up the old field lines and lay out new ones. And speaking of crap, we'll talk about a piece of Sony next. Don't forget to check out the blog, farmanner.blogspot.com, for the latest in what's happening around the free-range insane asylum. I've been wanting a digital voice recorder for a while now. So when I wound up down at Best Buy, more about that in a bit, I decided I needed a voice recorder right there and then, so I went on in and started looking around. What I want in a voice recorder should be fairly simple. Decent quality audio, connections for an external microphone, and a way to connect it to a Mac to get the sound off of it, preferably as an external drive. The cheap MP3 player I talked about in the last podcast, so long ago, could do it, but the sound quality was pretty bad. Professional grade recorders check all my boxes, but they're like $400. I could write the expense off on Mrs. Fetch's video business, but that's like a rebate that would come about the middle of next year. I needed something, so I dropped about $65 on a Sony ICD-P320. It didn't say it would work with Macs, nor did the other brands on the shelf, but it didn't say it wouldn't either. I took it out to my car to set it up, and that went well enough. The documentation was sketchy, consisting of scattered pieces of paper with various bits of info on them, but I was able to follow along well enough to get the batteries installed, then record and play back a test message. With that, I took it out to the line and started recording. I bobbled a couple times, losing a long segment that we had to start over, but that could be put down to my unfamiliarity with a new device in less than ideal light. The problem started when I got it home and tried to get the files off it. Sony has a problem supporting Macs, and this piece of junk was no exception. Then again, I'm talking about a company that's put spyware on audio CDs. Frankly, I don't care how good the product is. If it doesn't work with my Mac, it's worthless to me. I ended up borrowing Big V's PC. Of course, I had to install the software to get the Sony to talk to the PC as well. Once I got that far, I was able to convert the files to WAV and burn them onto a CD to take back home. The sound quality was reasonable given the conditions. There were a couple occasions that I thought I'd have a lot of fade, but didn't. You'll hear how it sounded later. Not wanting to borrow a PC every time I used the thing, I returned it. When they asked me why, I told them it wouldn't work with my computer. After the stop at Best Buy to return the Sony and check out some big screen TVs, Mrs. Fetched is really pushing for that. The next stop was the Apple Store. Black Friday at the mall was actually no worse than most weekends this time, amazingly enough, although the Apple Store was more crowded than usual. In the week between the decision and the opportunity to return the Sony, I started looking for digital voice recorders in the $100 range or under that would work for me. I didn't find any, though the Olympus recorders came close. But I found something slightly different, the Extreme Mac Micro Memo. It typically sells for $59, putting it in the same range as the Sony and other recorders. But by a stroke of luck, it was one of the sale items at the annual Black Friday sale at the Apple Store, $48 instead of $59. The Micro Memo isn't a standalone recorder. It's an accessory for video iPods. It has a detachable microphone that sports a flexible boom, which means you can position the mic to fit the situation. The input jack can be switched between the mic and line-level inputs as needed. The Micro Memo attaches to the iPod dock port, which means you'd better have a fully charged battery if you plan to be using it to record a whole hour. Having a dock pass-through would be highly useful, but if you plan to use it for long interviews or recording class lectures, you might want to have a backup plan. This is one advantage of standalone voice recorders. Those AAA batteries last a long time. The unit is pretty straightforward, much more simple to operate than the Sony, and comes with a small staple-bound 80-page manual. That's 10 pages each for 8 languages. The manual doesn't close too well. That's the problem with trying to staple-bind that many pages together. Larger pages or fewer languages would have been a better way to go. There's one more inconvenient thing about the Micro Memo. I keep my iPod in an in-case jacket to protect it from the scuffs and drops that come with being carried around all the time. The Micro Memo doesn't provide enough clearance to plug it into the bottom of a cased iPod. One reviewer said he'd took a Dremel tool to the tabs on either end of the Micro Memo, and that allowed him to keep his iPod in its case and still attach it. But for now, I'll take my iPod out of the case while using it as an audio recorder. The Micro Memo records WAV files, allowing you to select high or low quality, and drops them into iTunes the next time you connect your iPod. As far as the sound quality goes, I'm using it for this segment of the podcast. In future podcasts, I'll try using it with different microphones as well. So, while we were at the Apple Store, I also picked up a Griffin iMic. For those of you unfamiliar with this $40 gadget, it's a USB audio adapter. It works with Macs and DOS boxes, and is a popular podcasting accessory. I'll be putting it through its paces in a later podcast, and we'll hear more about it then. 'Tis the season for shiny gadgets, and when we come back, we'll talk about the shiniest gadget of the year and what people are willing to go through to get one. Unless you've been deliberately avoiding it, you know that the PlayStation 3 officially hit the shelves at midnight on November 17th. Now, my idea of a fun game is Solitaire or Sudoku, something to help me unwind. Although Mrs. Fetched and I used to play Dr. Mario on the original 8-bit Nintendo system. We wore that box out entirely, and the kids have run through a series of game consoles since then. At the moment, daughter Dearest has a GameCube, and the boy has a PS2 and a broken Xbox. The boy's currently between jobs and managing to barely scrape up enough money for cigarettes and his probation, so a PS3 isn't in his future anytime soon. But he and a friend of his, who's seen in a writer's photo linked in the show notes, were offered $200 to hold places in line to get some of the first PS3s for sale in the U.S., which meant they would be there for a couple of days to get the best spots. The weather on this planet that week was cold, rainy, and windy, so in my book they earned a lot more than they actually made. Since I had to take the boy his meds and some food on the eve of the launch, I hung out and talked to some of the people he was with. Had I known I'd been doing this, I would have taken warmer clothes and a video camera. It was quite a sight. I took a few pictures with my cell phone, which takes better pictures than the previous one, and I've put a few of those in the show notes as well. The Best Buy on Pleasant Hill was the only midnight launch in the Southeast, I'm told, so there was quite a line.
So, okay, it starts off...
Very beginning.
Yep. I wake up at 5 o'clock what day was it? A couple days ago.
He's delirious.
So, at 5 o'clock. And so we go down to Walmart, and We meet up with Chris, we get our stuff together, and we go camp out. And where we put our chairs up, getting ready, you know, to sit out, you know.
Well, first we had to talk to the manager and talk them to even letting us, because they were like, no, you're not camping out.
Yeah.
And this was at Walmart.
Yeah, this was at Walmart.
So Chris, the silver-tongued devil, like, sweet talks the lady, and she was all like, oh, you can talk to management, you can talk to management. Yeah, let me
take. Like, so we kind of talked, like, three or four of the main people in charge for that shift into it. So they were like, okay, yeah, we kind of see your point. We weren't really planning on it, but I guess we could let you do that. You know, it sounds good. And so we went out, got the chairs, brought them back in, set them up in layaway where we wanted to be warm. So that's why we picked Walmart as plan A, because we wanted to be warm, and they put us in the layaway area, and you know, plus there's a supermarket in there, and we could get, you know, fruit or, you know, anything like edible that really quick and kind of sustain us and not have to leave and go anywhere. Everything we would need would be there. Warmth, food, is the PS3.
Right.
And we get our chairs in. We set them up. We have them in there. Like, a lot of the employees were like, what are you guys waiting for? And we told them, they're like, oh, wow, you guys are diehards. And kind of started making friends with a lot of the employees. And they were like, wow, you know, okay, what's going on? The girl was taking pictures with us, with her camera phone. She's like, I'm putting this on my MySpace page. And you guys are crazy.
Wait a minute. You were at Walmart, but we're standing in front of a Best Buy. What happened?
We were there for about 2 hours waiting, and then all of a sudden this manager that we hadn't seen yet shows up, and he was like very like cut and dry. He was like, we're not getting any, and you're just wasting your time here. And we know that it's a very big supercenter Walmart, and we know that they were at least going to get some. We didn't know how many they were getting, but it was in their advertisement, their flyer, that they were getting some. So, I mean, if you advertise something in your weekly flyer, you know, they were at least going to get three or four. And we were one, two, and three in line. We had established the line. We were ready to go. We were ready to camp out. Everything was good. Kind of like to me that they were all going to buy them all. You know, like they were planning to buy them all, like for themselves. And, oh, no, we're not getting any. Go away. You know, we're going to buy these. So we just decided, rather than fight them on whether they were really going to get them in or whether they really weren't, he was the manager, and we weren't going to fight with him. We were just going to get the hell out of Dodge and go to Plan B. Plan B ends up being the midnight launch at Best Buy over here in Gwinnett County at the Gwinnett Mall off Pleasant Hill Road. So we ended up arriving here about when they open up. Earlier in the day when they opened up, and we were kind of scoping out the scene. We're walking around and just kind of seeing what was up. Come across this little flyer that's over on the PS3 kiosk. But anyway, we see this thing, and it says management is not allowing any camping out until 10 p.m. Wednesday. The line doesn't form until 10 p.m. Wednesday. Well, granted, that's quite a bit of time before the PlayStation 3 goes on sale, because it's midnight Friday morning, or, you know, midnight 01 Friday morning, you know, really late Thursday night. So that's like 27 hours, I guess. Is my math correct?
Yeah.
Close enough. Of a wait time anyway. Now, believe it or not, there are lots of people that want to wait that long out in the cold to get this item. It's that sought after. So we were here walking around. We were trying to see, like, how many people. We didn't want to run up and try to form a line, because they said that we can't form a line. But we didn't want to, like, not have a chance if the line maybe formed a little earlier or whatever. So we just kind of hung around in the store. We would watch that, and they'd have some pretty cool games, racing games and stuff on there that they were demoing. We're admiring the case, and we were like, ooh, ah, it's so pretty. It's so shiny. Then we kind of started to notice more people coming in and asking, when's the PS3, when's the line for them, and this and that, kind of the same thing we were trying to figure out. So we were kind of bonding with maybe a few, I guess two or three or four of the people that were there. They go, yeah, we're here too. Why don't we all stick together, kind of form a line and make sure nobody, you know, tries to run up and this and that, since they're forming a line in such an unconventional, unorthodox manner at 10 o'clock. Run for the door!
Yeah.
Or that's what we thought. So at around 6 o'clock, you know, 4 hours before the 10 o'clock line formation time, we started noticing a lot of people. Like, people must have got off work and, like, came over here. And it started to get in the, like, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and then, like, we were losing count. So we just decided that we were going to form a list, because they wouldn't let us come out and stand in line until the 10 o'clock. So we said, well, I was here at this time, and yeah, I know I saw him next. And so we started to form a list on this piece of paper, and everybody was like, yeah, I'm cool with that. That's, but, you know, let's get organized. And the guy came by, and he's like, we can't honor your, the Best Buy, like, employee. He goes, though we respect what you're trying to do, we can't honor your list because it's not a valid list unless we make it. And it's like, well, then why don't you handle this? Why don't you make this? Because we have said we're starting it at 10 o'clock, and that's what we've been telling people. We want to be fair, everybody, for 10 o'clock. And I was like, look, you see how many people are coming in here? You guys are going to have a big problem on your hands when there's 1,000 people wanting to get this thing, and you only have, like, you know, 20. Because they wouldn't even tell us how many they have. We were like, how many are you getting? Well, we don't know that, and we can't say if we did. And so we got no answers, like, during the day at all, nothing. So we're just basically on hope that we're going to get them. And granted, we are at the Best Buy, like, in the South. Well, actually, the only midnight launch in the South is the location that we came to. So we came to the right location, because it's like, you know, the debut at midnight, 01. Most stores are having them go on sale at 8 a.m. Or, you know, like, Walmart may open at 7 or whatever, somewhere.
Right.
And so we decided that we would just keep making this list and hope that they got some sense real quick, since there were people, like, showing up in packs. And then it got kind of crazy. People were like, put my name on that list. And they were, like, yelling. I was like, look, everybody just calm down. And then people were like, I was here before they were. Why is he putting his name down before mine? I'm like, look, this list isn't even valid. We're just trying to organize this so it doesn't get out of control. And there were people going, man, this is already getting out of control. I'm getting out of here. I don't want to get killed. And they were leaving. People were leaving. They're going, I'm going to a different store. It's early enough. I can get a spot in a different store.
So, well, we get going. Everybody starts showing up. And 10 o'clock rolls around. And so we start going outside. The line starts forming. And then so they're like, you can't stand here. We got to stand over here. We can't block the door. So we all move to this side. And then people just, like,
I mean, like,
in droves
of people started showing up.
Like, 10 minutes before it was 10 o'clock, or, yeah.
No.
Or, like, after, actually, like, three or four hours.
People started showing up in packs at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
It was 8. Because we started losing track of time, because we were just getting worried. We were like, oh, my God, we've been waiting here all day, and we're not even going to get a spot in line, possibly. They weren't honoring the list. The one guy at the front door, the security, the main security guy, he was, like, getting all stressed out, which I think he, in that position, doesn't need to be that stressed out. He doesn't need to be in that line of work, because he was freaking out. He was going, we're not honoring the list and this and that. And they should have actually organized it a little bit sooner than they did, because it was starting to get out of hand. And people were showing up and going, man, I'm running. I don't care. I'm here. You aren't getting in front of me. And it was getting ugly. The tension was building. It was like, I'm serious. Like, people were like, they were willing to do anything to get in line and get a spot to make sure that they got one.
So they eventually got their act together.
No, they did not get their act together. We haven't even gotten.
It was total chaos.
We have not gotten to the main meat of the story. So what they ended up doing is they lost control. They, in their professional, we run a store, you know, mentality, could not control this pack of people. They tried their best, but it had gotten out of control. They should have followed the list. We had it all under control in the beginning, but they didn't want to do it for some reason. And because now it's starting to escalate, which is what I knew would happen. And they knew it would happen. We saw it. It was like just materializing right in front of our eyes. It's like, okay, we knew this was going to happen, and then now it's happening. So over here, I'm telling you, this whole area was packed, completely packed. They brought out this right here. This is the rope with the little concrete, you know, holder, PVC pipe holder, and a makeshift jammy. You're here is like a maze. So the line didn't run up to the front door. It ran to the, you know, the back of the, yeah, the back of the roped-in area. Okay, so you have, I'm telling you, you have like literally 250 people out here. 250 people out here across the street, all trying to figure out a way to outmaneuver someone to get to that line, right? Okay, so people were like, it was like packs of dogs. It was insane. You guys want to help me here?
Yeah, and so we're standing here, man, and we're like, well, we were first.
We're,
you know, what are we
going
to do? Yeah.
Into people and stuff.
And so when they start saying, okay, everybody move over, and then...
Oh, tell them about the people saying that they were going to run, and then some people were like, no, don't run.
Yeah, don't run. You're going to get kicked out, blah, blah, blah. And the manager were like, you can't run. If you see anybody run pushing, we're calling the law, and you're getting escorted out of here. And so they come up with a bright idea to form a human chain. The employees of Best Buy, and
they
they're
hold
like,
hands.
Yeah, they're like, form a chain, and so they ease us down, and all the people that showed up like later on in the day were over at one side, and all the people that were here forever was right here. And so the people that just showed up
started pushing and shoving.
Yeah.
And the main lady was like, look, you guys need to stop. I mean, I was being pressed up against one of the guys, like mashed up against him, like pressed up against him. And he was like holding me. I'm like, dude, I cannot do anything. And they were pressing and they were pushing and like just trying to make their way to the front of the line. It was a mass mob. I mean, I thought some people were going to get trampled. It was that scary.
Yeah, and there was like little kids. There was like a little, I think like 5-year-old girl that was in the midst of it all. Like, she was right beside me, and I kept telling the dude, I was like, is she okay? He's like, yeah, I got her. He was just holding her by her hand, dude, just trying not for her to get trampled.
And they kept saying, look, you know, don't push. And, of course, nobody was listening to any of that. They were, you know, and it was like a lot of, like, gang stuff kind of. I left this out. All the while all this is going on, there are cars like that cruising through the parking lot, blasting music and setting off their really loud like boat horns and just crazy stuff going on, like, and like doing their air shocks and like low rider like things, and this is all happening like around us, like they're like, hey, the PS3 line is forming and let's show off our cars to all this mob of people, because it's so many people at once can see our great automobile that we've tackied up really bad. So then the mob of people starts pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing, and then they finally were like, we give up, and they just kind of let it break through, and then like everybody just kind of ran through and formed the line.
So you got in line, you managed to form the line after all the pushing and shoving.
Here's the thing, is people that showed up 5 minutes before the line started ended up in like third and fourth and fifth place, which is pretty unfair considering that, you know, we were here all day. They just ran up or whatever and was like, I'm in line, let me get in line. Well, to make a long story short, everybody got split up. I ended up 14th in line. I had to push my way a little bit up, even though I didn't want to. But I wasn't gonna, you know, have them push me. So I got to 14th. And it was a struggle. Cody made his way up to 44th.
Yeah.
And Michael ended up 92, and he can't talk that good because he's losing his voice.
Right. Yeah.
So all the while this is happening, it's raining and drizzling and getting, you know, like the storm, the wind is blowing, and it was pretty bad weather. So we're getting poured rain on, and so people were like complaining and fussing and going, that's not fair. And it was pretty much just a very unorganized event. Best Buy had it completely unorganized. And they seemed very amateurish at this. It's like, for having this event, they should have had it a little more structured and a little more organized. But it was kind of funny to watch them struggle with the simplest organization skills. And even though it was frustrating, it was kind of funny. Didn't you guys think it was?
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, what are you guys doing? You guys are so stupid. You know, what the hell? So, we just heard roll call. We have roll call. We have to fall in, and people started to try to break out their tents, and there wasn't enough room for the tents, so they had to tell people to move back. It was so unorganized. It was insane. It was like, move back. We got to fit the tent. So we had to set up our tent in the street last night, and they, because they couldn't get people to move back, they thought that was too hard. They decided to surround our tent with shopping carts so that we didn't get run over by the cars being in the middle of the road. So here we are in this tent surrounded by shopping carts, and people are like bumping into them, and they're rolling around
in the parking lot.
Yep, in the parking lot. People then started pulling their cars up to their tents and flipping up the back and playing their, you know, their subwoofer beat jam, and it was basically like a huge party in the parking lot. And then everybody was going, how many are they getting? How many are they getting? And this and that. And the lady came out and was like, okay, everybody, we're getting 136. And I'm thinking, whew, okay, that's good news at least, because if they were only getting 20, it was going to be a mob scene, a bad scene. So we kind of settled into the tent, made a few friends, and just dealt with the fact that, you know, we got split up. But we all kind of congregated in the tent. Then they made their own list of names. They sent the notebook down, and they made their own list, which is what we had already done at 6 o'clock before, earlier, but they didn't want to honor that. So they made their own of the people who really weren't here when they should have been, on down to the mixed-up maze of, you know, disorganization
and mayhem.
And so I am number 14, officially number 14, even though, like, some of the people are getting scratched off because they're doing roll calls.
Yeah, they're doing roll call. And so, I mean, even though I'm 44th, Michael's like 96, 92, like, people, like, when they do roll call, if you're not in the spot, right, when they say your number, if you're not there, they scratch you off the list. And so, we really don't know what number we are.
Because they've been scratching some people off. Some people, like, decided that, well, maybe I really don't want to wait 27 hours for this thing in the rain, in the wet, cold, with all these people. And or maybe I don't quite have the money, and I'm trying to sell the spot in line. Like, I've seen people trying to sell their
spot. Yeah, we got offered $750 today for this spot we're at. Like, you came up and said, well, I'll give you $750, and I'm willing to budge on it.
He just wanted to buy it and resell it.
Yeah,
he even said it himself. Yeah, this is pretty much the hottest thing out. Like, they were predicting to make $2 million at launch, and they're really only releasing about 200,000 is the projected amount, or less maybe, and that's like not nearly enough to fill the demand. So it's the most state-of-the-art next generation video game machine. So it is definitely the hottest thing ever made up to this point in time in history.
Yeah.
The most hottest sought after item at Christmas time ever in the history of the world right now. More so than any other gaming system, but especially because it's limited and there's a Blu-ray player in it. And the graphics are just incredible. It's like beyond your normal, like, I mean, it's basically a super futuristic system. It, you know, it does everything. It's got like the little slots for all the little SanDisk disk cards, four different slots for the mini ones and the medium ones, and you can upload your pictures, your video, your MP3s, anything that you have off of your computer, you can put it on there. And it's a Blu-ray player, which is HD. It'll play movies, it'll play video games, it'll go online. You can play online video games with other people. So, I mean, really what it comes down to is this is a very highly sought after entertainment center system. You know, it does a lot of things. And the case is pretty, too. So
yeah, it's nice and shiny and black.
And then they had a few people that were disappointed in the way that the line went, and they decided to leave. And so the line kind of dwindled down a little bit. Then you had more people showing up saying that they wanted to get in line. So they made their own list, and they wrote it down by hand. Then they went in there like, we're going to be checking it. So then it started pouring down rain. Our tent started like, the wind started to like blow it. So we had to put chairs at each four corner. It was like a hurricane or a mini hurricane came through, or a monsoon. And it was pretty wild, and we were drenched.
Yeah, the night goes on, and when they wake us up at every 2 hours to stand outside in the freezing cold rain to do roll call. And that's crazy because people are screaming. Everybody's asleep in their tents, man, trying not to miss roll. And it was kind of like being treated like we were like in kindergarten.
And people were getting scratched off the list because they were in their car asleep. And people had to come and go, hey, I was in my car asleep. So it was kind of like more disorganization. But we kind of had our act together. We came prepared, except for the 79-cent ponchos. Kind of got ripped off on those. But everything else we had pretty much prepared. Got a kick-ass, like, five-man tent here.
And giant circus tent.
Yeah.
Circus tent up there.
The headquarters,
if you will,
of the core crew.
Yeah, the crib.
And so we're hanging out. People are going to get food. People are partying. People are making friends. People are talking about gaming systems. People are pulling out their laptops. Oh, yeah, there was a couple guys who were, like, drinking pretty heavily and partying.
Puking on themselves.
This one got puked on himself. One guy, like, passed out. And
so the night goes on. Everybody gets roll call goes, you know, everything goes good except for waking up every 2 hours. And so morning time comes, we're still here, everybody's still doing their own thing. And so we get hungry, and it's cold, man. I mean, it's like wind's blowing, it's freezing. So we decide after the roll call that we're going to go get some Chinese food.
They had the spread. They had everything.
Chris, like, comes up. Him and Michael go to the sushi bar, man. So, yeah, okay. I hate.
All right, so anyway, we chowed down. We actually got some fruit, got a big giant plate of strawberries, cantaloupe, and we had a pretty good little lunch. We stayed in there. We're like, it's warm in here. Let's stay in here as long as we can. And as we were heading back, we're going through the parking lot, and we see this thing. It looks like a baton, kind of like, you know, like the little twirler girls or whatever.
Majorettes.
Yeah, the majorette little girls. And we were like, what is that? And I said, I stopped the car. I was like, get out and get that. And who got out and got it?
I got it.
Cody jumped out and got it. He's like, score! This thing is cool. And we looked at it, and it's like a curtain rod, but it's like the coolest curtain rod you've ever seen. It almost looks like a staff. So we decided, since we ate at the Chinese buffet, that we would name it the Staff of Ramen.
Yeah.
You know, so we're having, in our adventure, we're having our little adventure. We're trying to
discover treasures in our adventure along the way. They made a couple friends. Found a giant stick.
So the instead of the staff of Ra, it's the staff of Ramen. So we're running around with this staff in the car, and we're headed back, and of course go by, get some cigarettes, and I notice Michael's starting to be a little hoarse. It's like, ah. So I'm like, hey, are you all right? He's like, man, I think I'm getting laryngitis. So he's not able to talk too well. And then we head back.
We start taking the staff and whatnot.
Just everything up the line and, like, us standing out in line.
Yeah.
So we come back out of the store. I have on my crazy mask. I put on a crazy mask, and I'm twirling the baton around, or the staff of ramen around. And everybody's looking at us, and nobody's had a bath. And
the magazine.
Huh?
Or the magazine. People started showing up.
Oh, yeah. People started interviewing us and taking pictures of us for magazines. Reuters came.
Yeah.
So I guess we're going to be on Reuters. Yeah, you can check
magazine.
That out.
Like,
they took pictures of us. Yeah.
Service. It'll be on Yahoo, probably.
Okay. Yeah.
That's
look for that, because we're on
yeah.
it. and drunk photos. They had pictures of me and him, and all three of us, actually.
Okay, so you guys had gotten interviewed by the press and the media.
We were hanging out. They had like three or four or five more.
So then, no, we were at the store again, and we told them, like, we're going to go in here and, like, shop for something. And
they're like, you just can't. He was like, you better buy something. You can't hang
out. Well, no, no. We said we were going to go in to buy something. They said, yeah, that's fine, this and that. So we went in, and we were looking around. We kept warm for a little while. We bought a couple CDs to jam on, and then we went back out to the car, played the CDs, got a little bit of warmth in the car, and then what happened after that? We're getting close up to where we are now.
Yeah.
We basically started more roll calls.
Yeah.
More roll calls, more people start showing up. A lot of people driving through the park are like, going, what's going on? Oh, we've been telling them, hey, yeah, The Little Mermaid's finally being released, the unrated director's cut.
And the Nintendo Wii.
We're camping out for the Nintendo Wii.
And we're just kind of kidding around, having fun, you know, making light of it. And then 11 Alive showed up, CBS 46 showed up, and they got probably the most uninteresting footage of the whole
movie. Yeah, it was some dude that you couldn't even hear talk.
Yes, you couldn't even hear him speak. So then, after that, a couple hours later, 11 Alive showed up, and they're still sitting waiting on 11 o'clock.
Yeah, I think that's where we are now.
That is exactly where we are now.
You gonna play these things, or are you going to sell them?
We haven't decided exactly what to do yet. The whole idea was get as many as we could to try to resell them, to actually pay for one for us to be able to play. But if these things are so high in demand, they may end up getting sold. I don't know. I don't really know what's going on. I'm not really the investor in this. I just came to kind of experience.
I mean, it depends on how much money. And the way it looks, the money people are trying to shell out for a spot to buy it, it looks like these things are in such demand that there's probably no telling, like, how much money these things will go for.
At least $6,000 to $7,000 on eBay.
I've been hearing $2,400 on eBay.
There's no telling, because it's all speculative and it's all speculation until it actually happens.
Yeah.
And no one, you know, it hasn't been released yet.
Yeah.
It gets released at midnight, which is only a few hours from now. And once people have them in their hands, and then they're on eBay, physically on eBay, that they physically have it in their hands, then we'll start to see the real numbers kind of surface. But right now, people are speculating. It's sort of like the stock market. Oh, I predict this, or I predict that. And,
yeah, we'll see. We'll just see how it pans out. We'll see how it goes from there.
But, you know, the prediction is that it could fetch quite a bit of money, considering the limited supply and the huge demand. And obviously, there's a huge demand, because we had to camp out for 2 days to get one and fight people to get in line and deal with a bunch of crazy stuff like that we couldn't even tell you, because you would have had to have seen it with your own two eyes.
Yes,
but it has been fun in some ways, frustrating in others, and it's been quite an adventure, and it will be something to remember for all time.
Yeah.
We were there during the history in the making
of the PS3.
The PS3 establishing itself.
We're going to have some of the very first ones out in the United States.
Most definitely.
We are, yeah. So we kind of set and made history tonight, so it's been pretty cool.
Yeah. The dream pretty much accomplished.
In a few hours, anyway.
Yeah, in a few hours, yeah.
That's what I said, pretty much.
Yep. Hopefully nobody will get shot.
Exactly. Or beaten.
Yeah.
Because that did happen at Toys R Us.
So, yeah.
Yeah, some people got beat up. It happened over the PS3 pre-order that they had at Toys R Us. People camped out for 3 days.
I think a lady got stabbed.
Yeah, there was a mob scene, and some guy pulled out a knife and just started stabbing everybody that was, like, he was, I guess, in a crowd of people, and he started stabbing anyone that was, like, in his vicinity. And I don't think anybody died, but there was some people going to the hospital.
Yep.
So that just shows how much these things are. People are willing to commit violence on other people just to get their hands on them.
A few hours later, Chris, Cody, and Michael walked out with a new PS3 each. Dedication sometimes does have a happy ending. Cody's picture is up on Yahoo News. I've included a link in the show notes. Be sure to check the other pictures from the scene in the show notes. It's all waiting for you at farmmanor.blogspot.com. That's it for this time.